You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Lord God, amid the ordinary, give us eyes to see your extraordinary and great glory in the event you have arranged, the coming of your Son, Jesus. Open our ears to hear the good news of redemption and life, which you give to the world in Jesus, our Savior. Hear our prayer in his name. Amen. When P.T. Barnum came to town years ago with his collection of animals and acrobats, he called the whole thing the greatest show on earth. It was new. It was original. It was unusual. It was exciting. The circus is still exciting, especially to the young fry. I've noticed, however, that older people like to go along, too. They enjoy the excitement of their children and grandchildren. If the truth is to be known, they enjoy the excitement of the circus themselves. It's the kind of thing that draws a crowd. For the tall ships which sail into the harbor, masts held high and flags flying. When a world figure appears on the scene and people flock to see someone whom they've come to know by sight or sound on radio or television. People are show lovers. They become excited when the show begins. For that day, it is the greatest show on earth. The greatest show on earth, really living up to the billing, is the one that is heralded by the greatest story ever told. It was brand new. It was original. It was unusual. And it was exciting. It was not a flashy performance characterized by the easy answer or the precision time schedule. There were some advanced publicity scouts, but no security precautions, no police barricades, no arenas to accommodate the crowds, no VIPs rolling out the red carpets. The whole thing took place on grassy knolls in small synagogues and ordinary homes. It all happened so simply, without hooked-up drama. As St. Mark tells us, Jesus and his disciples came to Capernaum, and when they came into his house, he kept asking them, "What were you arguing about there on the way?" They were all silent, for they had been arguing with one another on the road about who was the greater. He sat down and taught his 12 disciples and said to them, "If someone wishes to be first among you, he will be the last of all and the servant of all." He took a little child and put him right in the middle of them, and nuzzling up to that little child, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who has sent me." No ticker tape parades here, no bunting, and no pizzazz, nothing that would give any hint that this is the greatest show on earth. Here you see only simplicity and determination, heart and soul that make for real life with the hint of suffering and death that are to come. Mark knows that Jesus traveled without a lot of fanfare. The business at hand was not to win the acclaim of the masses, but to teach his disciples and to equip them for the mission and the ministry to come. He was not particularly interested in having anybody know about his being there at that moment while he was teaching his disciples. His teaching and his acts that supported his teaching were significant enough on their own, without the fanfare and embellishment that people so often demand. Without a doubt, this was the greatest happening on earth. It was not much, that manger in Bethlehem, but that was his first home on earth. From that time on, mangers have always been associated with him. Mangers are for animals that are not on display. Mangers are for eating and for life. On that day when the greatest show on earth began, the animals gave up their manger for him. The greatest event on earth is the demonstration of what God is willing to do. If that isn't unusual and original, I'd like to know what is. Only God could think of something like this. No motion picture director would ever imagine or depict it. There in that manger lies the incarnate Word of God, God's best and dearest, His everlasting Word to the world. It almost goes beyond words. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. From His birth to His death, His crucifixion, and then on to His glorious resurrection, Jesus Christ was always bringing to people the marvelous love of God, who reaches out to save people from their sins. What all of us have to deal with in the world is sin, our sins and the sins of others. We're all in this together. We suffer because of our sins, and also because of the sins of others. We loudly protest our innocence, and at the same time admit our guilt. We all head towards the destiny which the world has prepared for itself, which is death. The wages of sin is death. Those wages are always fully paid. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes this birthday that we're preparing to celebrate the beginning of the greatest show on earth in all its simplicity, hidden away in a little town of a little country at the end of the Mediterranean Sea. God's act of love is performed for the whole world and for all time. He fully paid the wages of sin in His own time and for all time. He did it Himself, and by Himself was raised from the dead as the firstborn of all those who will ever come into that great harvest of life and resurrection, which again are His and His alone to give. All of this may sound to a lot of people like something from the dim and distant past. It all comes into the present when you hear Him teaching His disciples. This is for us as well as for them. If anyone wishes to be first among you, let him be the last of all and the servant of all. Jesus had just got through teaching His disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of people, and they will kill Him. And 3 days after He has died, He will rise again." The disciples could not put this together with what they already knew about Him. They'd come to the conclusion that this was the greatest show on earth. And now this, the Son of Man will be killed, not privately, but publicly. The crowds will make a show of Him, a laughingstock. No wonder that St. Paul called the cross of Christ foolishness to mankind. It's not the way the greatest show on earth is supposed to be run. Actually, it was being run by God Himself in His own way. The best part of it is that it was not just a show, a drama, but real life. For the people massed on the hillside to hear Him preach, it was real life. For those who forgot to bring along any food and were suffering from hunger out there in the wild places, it was real life. For people whom society had passed by, the lame and the blind, the sorrowing and the sinful, it was real life. The healing power of the living God warmed their lives and blessed their hearts with love. If that isn't the greatest, I'd like to know what is. If the cross of Christ is not the greatest, bringing healing to the hurts of people everywhere, I'd like to know what is. If the resurrection of Christ from the dead is not the greatest event in the history of the world, I'd like to know what is. We celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ for what God has done for the world. We celebrate it also because of what God is always doing for the world. He does things for all of us. And He also does things with His people who have confidence in Him and go with Him along the way where He leads. The greatest show on earth is playing right now, not for the applause of people, but for their hearts and their lives. Once in a while, you get the impression that the cast whom God has assembled for the purpose spend an awful lot of their time fighting for themselves or with each other instead of setting out with resolute step on the road of Jesus Christ Himself, who is the beginner and the ender of all faith. The disciples had just been arguing with themselves along the road, following that great statement about death and resurrection which Jesus Himself had just made about Himself. St. Mark tells us they did not understand that word of His, and they were afraid to ask Him. But they were not afraid to start arguing among themselves at the same time about which one of them was going to be the head man, the ringmaster, in this three-ring circus. The disciples were concerned about upstaging one another, forgetting the roles assigned to them by God, along with the message and the mission they were called to carry out. Small and selfish concerns often become a lot more important to people than the person and the power of Jesus Christ. Selfishness is a lot more obvious and often a lot more important than selflessness. Mind you, all of this happened right in the presence of Jesus. He was with them when it all happened. He asked them when they got to Capernaum what they'd been arguing about on the road, as if he did not know. Even this did not occur to them, that he knew exactly what they had been arguing about. They kept it all to themselves, as if they could. The Lord and Master of the whole world, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, sat down patiently, took time, and talked to them about the plan God has for the salvation of the world, how he sent his Son to endure everything, that people might be saved who cannot save themselves, showing them his joyful spirit in the face of every difficulty. In the presence of Jesus, there's really no room for preoccupation with position and personal prestige when the Father's will needs to be done through his disciples. The Father's will needs to be done. And the Father's will be done. It was done through his Son, and it will be done through the disciples of his Son. The question is whether you and I are going to be disciples or not. The question faces me as it faces you. Jesus Christ died for us all and rose from the dead for us all. And now the question is, what about your discipleship and mine? I cannot take your place, and you cannot take mine. Here we are faced personally with Jesus Christ, who took all of our places. Each of us has to give him a personal answer. You do not have to answer for him. You don't have to defend him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He'll be that no matter what you say or think about him. The only question is he your personal Savior? Do you know him and have confidence in him that he is what he claimed to be, the Son of God and the Savior of the world? The lives of people are being turned around every day as they come to answer that question, which he asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? One of them answered, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the personal expression of faith for which God is looking from you. He wants it from you. Only you can give it for yourself. Recognizing Jesus Christ as your Savior and accepting his forgiveness for your sins could very well be a reversal of everything you have ever been or stood for. The insularity of the purely secular man or woman is just as appalling as the quarantine which purely religious people set up around themselves. In their own way, they are building up their own little Disneyland, not nearly as attractive as the real Disneylands, where they themselves become the greatest show on earth. If that's not a dream world, I'd like to know what is. The real world is the one, the greatest story ever told, producing the greatest show on earth, full of compassion and service, of heart and soul, something like the great heart and the great soul that set a little child in the midst of all of those adults, arguing in childish fashion about which one of them was going to be the greatest, and saying, whoever receives one of such little children as you see right here in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not really receive me, but rather receives him who sent me. There can be no question at all that he's referring to the author of it all and the ender of it all, even his Father who sent him to be the Savior of all. His Father who made and governs the world and who sent his Son to be the Savior of this little world of ours. The real and the best of all that is going on in the world today, the greatest show on earth, is packed to the rafters with people. Every conversion from love of self to love of God, every act of faith in God, every genuine deed of love toward God, runs contrary to what people usually call the mainstream of life. But there it is, something to behold, God at work in his people, bringing to people not only the greatest story ever told, but the greatest understanding of real life that will ever be, in places great and small, in hearts known and unknown, in lives that show forth with all humility the grace and the glory of God. That's where you will find the greatest show on earth. That's something to gather around and celebrate. This is Christmas as it really is, bright with the mystery and wonder of the grace of God as you see it in the face of Jesus Christ, as everyone can see it in the face of Jesus Christ. How brand new, how original, how unusual, how exciting. Always new and always the greatest. The greatest our earth will ever see. Amen.
Listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.